I shared with you this morning about the Raceway Ministry, and you know, you never know how God's going to bless you, but at the same time, you never know how God's going to chastise you either. And I like to tell this story, and it's on me. It's you know, I said how we sin and how we go back, about 3 years ago, the Raceway gives us golf carts, and from where we are, we transport the people that are disabled to a certain point and drop them off, and then after the race we bring them back. And so after the race we just keep bringing them back as long as they're there waiting for us. And this was 1 year after the 500, and I did the prayer, the invocation, that morning. So I'm there that night helping, and we're bringing people back as fast as we can. And we get to a point where they said, well, we think everybody's already come back. I said, well, I'll go just to make sure one more time. So we went. I mean, the buses have gone. The cars are gone. It's like a ghost town. And I could see a couple good distance away. And as I call it, lollygagging. They were just swinging and holding hands, and they were just as happy as they could be. And I recognized them, and I went, they're coming here to get a ride back to their RV, because I recognized that I had picked them up. And I went, they know I'm sitting here waiting on them. And they're just taking their sweet time, just lollygagging. All the vendors have gone. There's nothing to do. I went, why are they walking so slow? So, of course, when they come up, my outward attitude, hey, how are you? God love you. God praise you and all that. And how'd you enjoy the race? And they're saying, we enjoyed it a lot. And so took them back to their RV. They got out, and the gentleman looked at me, and he said, you know, we really enjoyed your invocation. We really enjoyed your prayer. And he handed me a bill, and he said, put this toward y'all's ministry. Now, we don't take, you know, we don't charge, but people do give us donations. Well, I shook his hand, just put it in my pocket, and said, thank you very much. Got back to the trailer and handed the lady the money, and I said, oh, a couple just gave me this. We need to put it in the donation box. And she looked at it, and she said, well, what did you say to them? And I went, well, I'm not really telling her what I thought. And I said, what do you mean? She said, they just handed you a $100 bill. And I went, Lord, forgive my attitude. And I said, you know, the Lord has a way of just changing our attitude in His way. Now, there's another story. I like to tell this on my wife, because my wife's beautiful. We've been married 46 years, and she is pretty today as she was 46 years ago. I've changed. She hasn't. But it was a Saturday night, and I was doing an invocation out at New Smyrna Speedway. So after I got through with the invocation, I said, well, let's watch some of the races. So I sat down beside her, and she pointed, and she said, you see that gentleman sitting over there? And I went, yeah. She said, well, he came up and sat beside me, and he said, well, hey, how are you? Said, you are new here. Said, I don't believe I've ever seen you before. She went, no, and I am new. And he said, well, it's good to have a new face here. Said, do you mind if I just sit with you? Now, my wife is quiet. She's deadly, but she's quiet. And she just has that way about her. And she said, she looked at him and said, well, as soon as my husband gets through giving the invocation, he will come and sit with me. Well, she said he started stammering, and he could not get up and leave that seat fast enough. So, you know, the Lord has a sense of humor. And I think sometimes He allows us just to have a little fun while we're serving Him. Well, turn with me to Joshua. And the third chapter. And I've changed. I want us to read beginning in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 3. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you." Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites." Now, that's how I pronounce it. You pronounce it any way you want to. I don't think it matters. "See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." When the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over Jordan over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing of the ground. Finally, the people of Israel were going to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. 40 years they'd been wandering in the desert. And now Joshua had promised them, "Consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow we go. Tomorrow, of all these things God has promised, tomorrow we are crossing into the land of milk and honey that God has promised us. Tomorrow is the day that we've been waiting for." They had to be excited. But at the same time, not just their excitement. Now understand, 40 years they've been in the desert. Now all of a sudden, Joshua's saying, "Oh, we're going to cross the Jordan into the land of milk and honey." But what they saw was an obstacle. Because during the harvest time, springtime, the snow had melted, the waters were coming down, the Jordan River was flooded. And not only was it flooded, the water was pretty swift. Now they've been in the desert 40 years, and all of a sudden they're looking at swift water. "We've got to cross that? We've got to go across that? We've never done anything like this before. This water, Joshua, are you sure this is where we're supposed to cross? Look how swift this water is. Look how fast it's flowing." And the historians tell us that even sometimes the Jordan River can flood even a mile wide. And the people of Israel are looking, going, "We've got to cross that? We have to go there?" Sometimes we have to face difficulty, or what we think is difficulty. But we have to put our faith in God if we know this is what God wants us to do. Now, I'm going to tie in real quick. I know that you're at a point to where you've got new things coming in. I know that you're going to be getting a new pastor. I don't know who it is. You don't know who it is. God's already worked that out. Whoever comes, God has purposely put that person here. And for you, and I say at the same time, the person that comes here to be your pastor, God's brought him here that for some reason that you can give to him and his family. I know your last two pastors, Don and Brother Walter, have been fantastic. And I know that they've loved you and that you've loved them. But it's a new beginning. It's exciting. Still a little scary, though, isn't it? Because you're used to Don. You're used to him. And he is a good guy. He's a good guy. So now you're getting, you're preparing yourself. In other words, God's asking you to cross into the Jordan, isn't he? He's saying on the other side, there's going to be a blessing. But there's that obstacle. Well, Lord, we've gone through this before. It has worked out. It just simply means we have to have faith in God. That God's going to work this out no matter what. God is going to work this out. But you must allow God to go before you. Don't you go before God. Allow God to go before you. Because without the guidance of God, it's going to be difficult. It is going to be difficult. So just a couple of things real quick tonight. Crossing the Jordan was a challenge to them. I mean, they're looking at this swift water. We've got to go across there. But see, Joshua knew. God had already told Joshua, tell the people to consecrate themselves because they're going to see a miracle tomorrow. They didn't know what was going to happen. God did, and he told Joshua, you don't know what's going to happen in the future, but God's going to put miracles in your life. He's going to put miracles in this church, but we have to consecrate ourselves first. In other words, you have to be committed to Christ. You need to be committed to the church, because church can be a great challenge, can't it? It can be a challenge. We have to overcome our fears. They had to overcome their fears of the raging water. Now, that's hard to do when you're looking at the water swiftly going by. So God had already given Joshua the instructions. Now, I like humor. And I can imagine if I was one of the priests and Joshua said, oh, by the way, the way we're going to cross this Jordan tomorrow is you're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Now understand, they were not supposed to touch it. They had poles that they carried it with, and they could not even put their hand on it. And he said, y'all are going to carry the Ark into the Jordan River. Wouldn't you like to have been a priest and heard that instruction? We're going to carry that into this river where the swift water is going. Joshua went, yeah, you're going to lead the people in. You're going to walk into this water. I love the picture of the priest. They're carrying the ark, and they're getting ready to go into an unsteady flow of water. And I'm sure that when they got up to the bank, wouldn't you like to have been the first priest in front? I'm sure he stopped. And he just kind of looked back at Joshua. Joshua's standing back over here like, yeah, go on, go ahead. And I'm sure they thought, well, you're our leader. Why don't you come on? Why don't you lead us? That's not what God said. You know, Joshua's back at, no, God said you go first. You know, so I'm sure the priest kept looking at him going, but the water, Joshua, have you seen the water? Has God taken into account the water? Go ahead. Go step into the water. Only when they stepped in ankle deep, the water stopped. Now, they didn't know that was going to happen. It's kind of like back with my story with the Raceway Ministry. I'm sure that the priest, when they stepped in, the water stopped. They went, God, why'd we doubt you? We knew you wouldn't put us in danger. We knew you've promised us that we could cross this Jordan River. So they all stepped into the water first. Then the miracle happened. Same way with us. If God's going to bless us, God's going to bless Beachside Baptist Church, God's asking each one of you, step into the water first. It may look like an obstacle. It may look like, well, I've never done anything like that, Lord. You sure that's what you want me to do? God will never call you to do anything that He doesn't give you the capability to do it. I promise. He might put you in new areas. He might put you in a new ministry that, you know, Lord, I can't do this. Yes, you can. He will give you that capability. But see, your faith still is going to say to you, step into the water. It may look like that obstacle, but as soon as you step into the water, God's going to show you a miracle. Because you've stepped in with your faith. You've stepped in with your commitment. You've stepped in with the love of Christ and with the love of this church. So before that miracle, before that blessing takes place, we have to take the first step. It may be in raging water. It may be just in a simple step, but we have to take that first step. And I promise you, God will bless you for that. See, faith is something that we experience, not encounter. It makes a difference. When you experience faith, you have more trust in God. You put more faith in God. And faith is something that we don't grasp, but it's something that grasps us. Faith grabs hold of us. There's a Jewish legend that two brothers went into business together, and they went into the grain business. And they decided that they would split the grain right down the middle, 50-50. Well, business was good. Business was great. One brother, single. The other brother had a wife and family. Well, the single brother decided one day, he needs more grain than I do. He has a wife. He has a family that he has to take care of. But he knew the brother would not just accept the agreement, you take more grain than I take. So at night, he would take his grain that they divided up, and he would take it and put it in his brother's barn without him knowing it. The brother with the family decided, you know, my brother is single. He has no one to take care of him in his old age. So he needs more grain than I do. And I know he won't take the grain, so at night he took grain and put it in his brother's barn. Both of them never said anything to each other, but they were both amazed that as the morning came, they still had the same amount of grain. And they just thanked God for it. Well, it did happen. One night, they crossed each other's path. Each one had their grain going to the other's barn, and they just stood there, laughed, and just embraced one another. The legend says that God saw their love for one another and that He blessed them in their commitment to one another and their faith in taking care of one another. And isn't that what the church is supposed to do? You know, we see a need, we take care of it. And I promise you, when we do that, sometimes you may do it anonymously. The meals that you're doing, that's the church. That's the church. You're taking care of a need that you see. Sometimes it may be in an anonymous way of taking care of it, but God has promised to bless us by just stepping, by stepping into the water. God will take care of us. But we have to understand that not only is it a challenge, it's hard to take that first step sometimes. It's difficult to take that first step. The priest had to take the first step into that rushing, into the rushing water. It was a test of faith, even to the priest, or for the priest. But they took the first step because they knew it was a command from Joshua, and Joshua had gotten his instructions from God. There was a missionary back in the 40s that was coming home on furlough, and he was going through Germany right about the time that the Nazi Germany was being overrun. And he went walking one day, and he found himself in the Jewish settlement, which was very poor at the time because of just the conditions and the Nazis and how they treated the Jews. And it was close to Christmas time. He had his spending money, the rest of the money to get home. And he saw the children in need. And he went and he bought chocolate. I don't know anybody that ever turned down chocolate. And he gave it to the children. And he spent all his money, the rest of his travel money, to buy this chocolate for the children, just to give them something that they could look forward to. Well, he telegrammed the home office and said, "I need more money." And of course their reply was, "Well, what happened to the money you had to travel?" So he told them the story. And they wrote back and said, "Well, why did you do this?" Said "These were Jewish children." Said, "They don't even celebrate Christmas. They're not even Christians." And the missionary wrote back, "I know, but I am." Sometimes we have to step into that water. Sometimes we just step in the water because it's what we do in believers in Jesus Christ. It's what God has placed on our heart and able to do that. God's going to be asking you to step into the water. Could be with your new pastor. God could be asking you tomorrow, "Hey, I need you to step into the water." Now the question is, are you going to have enough faith to step into the water? Are you going to have enough courage going, "Lord, this looks like an obstacle. Lord, I've never done this before. Lord, this just looks like I can't do it." But are you still going to have enough faith to go, "Well, they stepped into the water and God took care of it"? Look at the very last verse in 17. "The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completing the crossing on dry ground." If God will ever ask you to step into the water that you think that is swift, it's raging, remember Joshua chapter 3, because you probably, once you step into the water, God will probably let you cross the rest of the way on dry ground. Either way, God will take care of you. If God wants you to cross that water, you'll cross it. You'll cross it safely, and God will bless you. Sometimes we just have to use our faith, don't we? How many of you have ever ridden a bicycle? You never forget how to ride a bicycle, do you? But what's the one thing that you have to do to ride a bicycle? Get on it and get the momentum going. And to ride a bicycle, you have to keep it going, don't you? Because the moment you stop riding a bicycle, the moment you stop, you're not riding anymore, are you? You're having to put your feet down so the bicycle won't fall over. Our faith in God is like riding a bicycle. Get it going. Keep the momentum going. And I promise you, God will bless you. He'll bless you as a family. He'll bless you even in your individual life. He will bless you as a church. and he'll bless this community because of your witness and your faith, because you're willing to step into the water even though you're not sure about where your foot's going to land. God will bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you. Lord, you do ask us to do things that sometimes we don't understand. But Lord, maybe it's not for us to understand it. Maybe it's just for us to be obedient. Lord, I'm sure the priests that day that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, that they didn't understand that command. The Lord, they were anxious, probably even fearful to step into the water holding such a treasure, the Ark of the Covenant. But Lord, they did. And that's what we need to understand. That even with maybe all their questions, their anxiety, their fear, they knew the command was from you. They knew it was your purpose for them to step into the water. And Lord, as soon as all the priests stepped into the water and it was just ankle deep, you stopped the water. And you blessed the whole nation of Israel by them going into the land that you promised them on dry ground. Lord, I thank you for this church, for its members. I thank you for the future that you have for them. Lord, I thank you for even my life. And Lord, you're still putting waters in front of me. So Lord, let us realize that it is our faith. It's a strong faith that we need to step into the water. But when we do, your purpose will be fulfilled. For us in your name we pray. Amen.